This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So, Martha, Plimpton, and I are walking out of Movie's Bistro holding hands, and all the camera guys are like, oh, are you guys, like, freaking doing it? And I'm like, no, man. Neither one of us wants to let go of the last breadstick. The breadsticks there are
great
amazeballs.
Unreal.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook.
And what up, everybody?
Dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. My name is Hayes Davenport. I'm here with Sean Clements.
What up, what up?
We are sort of gentlemen about town in Hollywood, where the movies industry is. And something we like to do is to teach other people how to become famous in Hollywood. And one of the biggest mistakes that people make when they're trying to be Hollywood guys is when they're pitching movies.
And when you have the opportunity to pitch a movie to a Hayes or a Sean or to a Spielberg or a Vince Vaughn or to an Owen Wilson or a Luke Wilson or an Andrew Wilson. You don't want to squander that opportune. You want to make the most of it. So we do a segment on the show that people love called Pitch Perfectly.
I can't tell you how many times early in my pitching career when I kind of just moved out here, I don't think I'd even unpacked my clothes, where I would pitch a movie and the guys would be like, great, let's do it. Let's do the movie. And I'd be driving home, and that's when I'd have like the forehead slap moment,
the lightning bug moment.
I'd do a big face palm, and be like, "Why didn't I pitch myself into that friggin' movie?"
Yes, and I remember when I had first moved out here, and I don't even think I had put on shoes yet. I think I was still in like slipper socks, and I was pitching, you know, 10, 15 movies a day, and they were getting made. And then I would be on my moped just sort of cruising back towards my house, and I would have that moment that we all think of, the sort of moment where you just jam your thumb in your eye and you go like, you stupid, and you are so mad. And I'd go, why didn't I put myself in that movie?
People, this is a mistake you see a lot. Some people know their way around it, but they'll pitch a movie and they'll forget to pitch themselves into it, too.
Here's an amateur, a huge amateur mistake that you'll see.
Yeah.
So you're some nobody. You're Engineer Sam, or you're some loser. And you are at a luncheonette, and you meet somebody who's charming and famous. Let's think of an example. Okay, I've almost got one. Ian Somerhalder. And you're with Ian, and you leave, and you go, that guy should be in movies. And the next day at your movie pitch, you go, I want to write something for Ian Somerhalder. Ian Somerhalder is going to be the guy who invents Gatorade. And they love it. And they want to make it. And then you realize, why didn't you just go? And this is what Hayes and I always do if we meet someone famous or cool, an Ian Somerhalder type. We go, I want to write a movie for Ian Somerhalder and me. The "and me" is so important, and probably even more important than Ian Somerhalder. And these days, I leave Ian out of the pitch.
Yeah. I mean, just an example of a time. These are friends of ours who made this mistake. When Nat Faxon and Jim Rash were pitching The Descendants. Good friends. We were sort of community freaks. Six seasons of the movie.
And a movie and a theme park.
Yeah, we love all the little inside stuff.
The internet.
Those guys were pitching that movie, and the movie is fine. It's a fine movie. But they pitch it sort of like, George Clooney is an attorney, and he's the sole trustee of kind of his family's trust, and he's deciding whether or not to sell the land or to keep it
in
the family.
To make a life bigger or make it smaller.
And at the same time, his wife is in a boat accident, and she's in a coma.
Smashed a boat with her head or something.
But he finds out that at the same time, she has been unfaithful to him with Matthew Lillard. And so he and Shailene Woodley and his other daughter go to find Matthew, to get answers about his wife's infidelity.
Bo Bridges, yeah.
If we're pitching that movie, we'd go.
So George Clooney's an attorney in Hawaii, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And we go, but you never see him.
Yeah, you never see him.
That's in the background.
Meanwhile.
Meanwhile.
The two of us are friggin' laying out on the beach, like chilling with like sipping out of a half a coconut.
Snapping thongs, right? Straight up sharking girls.
Splashing around. The other coconuts kind of hanging off our ding dogs as we're like,
yeah.
Doing pranks of it, like beach pranks and stuff.
Beach pranks, sand in the drink, sand in the food, all the famous beach pranks.
Mm-hmm. Cranking up a Sea-Doo and being like, hitting a wave and getting air and being like, whoa! And
yeah.
As soon as it looks like you're going to wipe out, you like do a flip and then suddenly you're like right side up again.
And you're fine and you splash the nerd and the nerd's like, Manglaxies.
And Shailene Woodley is still there, and she's, like, our girlfriend, and she's, like, really down-to-earth and chill, but, like, she also knows how to, like, be sort of a freak sometimes.
But at the same time, there is a more traditionally hot girl that wants us, and we're boning her and the whole time going, like, but isn't our conversations with Shailene even better,
right?
And can we have it all?
Mm-hmm. And that's what's so chill about Shailene as a girlfriend, that, like, she understands that – like, you know, like for us to be able to experiment and stuff, it actually makes our bond a little bit stronger with her.
Because we can appreciate, like, when I was boning that traditionally hot girl, we had literally nothing to talk about.
Yes.
And that's to Shailene's benefit.
Right. And exactly. And that's exactly right. And how you can, do the boning and not have to worry about it so much anymore. You just, like.
And we're not all boned out after that one girl. We still have something for Shailene. And I think that's a really important message.
And sometimes it gives you something to think about when you're boning, like, your chill, down to earth girlfriend, like some other good bone that you, like, had recently.
Mm hmm. Yes, and so there's sort of that message. And then maybe at the end, Clooney pops up over the credits, like there's like a bonus scene with him. I guess we'd be there too, but maybe it's us with Clooney.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's still The Descendants. Like, you still do have the Clooney aspect.
Oh, sure.
But doesn't this movie sound more marketable, more fun, more funny, more cool?
And is an opportunity for you, the pitch. I mean, you know, that is a big part of it. It's an opportunity for you to get your brand out there in a way that you can't just by, like, writing a bunch of words for other people to say. Like, if you're the one pitching the movie, you control what's in the movie. You might as well put yourself in there.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go, like, to pitch a big company or something to, like, a bank guy and be like, here's this, like, really great company. I have a really awesome idea I want to do for, like, friggin' the Starbucks guy to do instead. Why would you do that?
It's opposite of what you'd want to do. You don't see people on Shark Tank going in and going, like, ooh, I've got a new way for moms to change, like, sheets that they, you know, their kid pissed on or whatever. And then going, like, and fucking give all the money to the Dunkin' Donuts guy or whatever, or the Tinker Toys, you know, dude, when the money gets made, and make sure he's famous afterwards. It's like,
why? It makes no sense. Why would you ever do that?
No one would watch that. And so, to me, I'm almost pissed at a really fun way to think about before your pitch meeting. Just think about one of your favorite movies. Mm-hmm. Give the one line pitch of the movie. Hey, so what's one of your favorite movies from the past 10 years?
You know, I loved Hugo.
Okay. Hugo. So the one-line pitch of that is some no-name fucking kids doing some weird time travel bullshit, and Scorsese's like, you know, taking a nap. So I would say you picture that. You go, okay, I don't want to pitch that, but could I add something to that one-line pitch to make the movie better? And for me, it's, you go, some bullshit-ass fucking no-name kid who's never going to do jack shit is doing some time travel thing or whatever in 3D, and I'm there.
I'm like his little friend. Like, I'm walking on my knees with, like, shoes on my knees, so I'm, like, a little kid too, but I'm, like, sort of horny.
Yeah. And it's like forced perspective stuff, so I look so small. And I'm so horny and so small that when I'm like, let's say I wind up like, you know, we're leaning over a balcony, I fall out of the rafters and I land in some chick's bazongas. I'm so small that the way they can do it with technology now, and I think Scorsese knows how to do this, is it looks like the bazongas are the size of me. You know? And I'm like, that's a playground for me. Comedically, as an actor, and sexually, it's a playground. Mm-hmm.
And then that robot shows up, and he's like, whatever, he does, like, he writes books or some boring bullshit.
Yeah.
And I show up, and I'm like, not anymore! And I, like, turn it into, like, a fingering machine.
Yeah, I just fucking take a screwdriver, jam it in the back of the robot, twist it, and go, this should be a little more fun. Slip my shades down from off my forehead, sit back and watch. And he's fingering whoever. And it could be somebody funny too, you know? It doesn't always have to be someone sexy. It could be an old lady, or it could even be like the prime minister's butt.
Or Chloe Moretz. I mean, she was in the first one. I don't see any reason to not use her again for something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Oh, like, oh, you can't use her to be, like, fingered in a movie because, like, I don't even know why, but, like, some people.
Well, it's just all this PC stuff that's happening now.
I know. I think because you need to, she needs to be, like, multicultural or something, like, because she's.
Or she has to finger herself so she's an active protagonist or whatever, and it's just one of those notes that it's, like, it's a technical note.
We have a great guest today. We've been interested for a long time in having serious actors who can be sad in movies and be scared, because we've had so many comedy people on, and so Zach Guilford, the star of Friday Night Lights and the upcoming The Purge 2. Is going to be joining us to talk about his craft very soon on Hollywood Handbook.
Hollywood Handbook.
So, I'm in Dash with Sarah Michelle Gellar, and she turns over one of the, you know, tags, and there's no price. She goes, I guess it's free. And Chloe's like, no, it's actually really expensive. I was like, we fucking know that. We're fucking joking. And I bought it.
Chloe.
Sevigny.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. Got a very exciting guest today. Some actors make you laugh and they tell jokes, and those are called like comedians, and we've had a lot of them on the show to do like funny stuff.
And they are comedy people, and they do comedy jokes, and it's for people to laugh at.
Yes.
Yes.
Some other actors, though, can pretend to be sad and be really angry.
Or get scared.
Or get really scared. And that's a kind of actor we've wanted to have in here for a long time.
And be brave, too.
Yes.
And be very proud.
And we've got a real stud here today, Zach Guilford.
Hi.
Star of Friday Night Lights. Off the Map, The Mob Doctor, the upcoming Purge Anarchy.
A lot of good shit I've done. But I also just want to point out, you know, like, yeah, I'm brave and make people sad or all that. But
Yeah.
I mean, I could be funny, too.
Oh, well, absolutely.
That was one of the first questions I had. One of the first questions I had. Because, you know, we're hanging out before we record this thing, and I'm laughing my whole butt off. Like, you're busting up my shit. And I'm going, how does this guy turn off his funniness? Like,
acting.
I mean, you know,
to quote the great comedian John Lovitz, mm-hmm. you know, from that classic SNL skit.
Mm-hmm. The pathological liar one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like acting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's, you know, like people in this business, I think a big thing, I don't know if you've told your audience, people want to pigeonhole you.
Yeah.
You know? So you got to diversify. And I've been holding off on the funny in my career just because I really want to wait for the right moment, in the right script. I don't want to do some shit comedy. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
No.
Like, I don't know, Hangover 3 or some bullshit like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So am I allowed to swear on here?
You can.
You okay. can. Anyway. We don't let everyone.
Okay. Well, I'll hold it back. Anyway, I just want to clear that up. Anyway.
The Hangover 3 was a piece of shit.
It was a fucking, like a cunt.
Yeah, and me, yes. Thank you, Hayes. And we have a lot of regrets on what we did with that movie. It was a cash grab for us.
Yes. When we, you know, we just kind of showed up on set and they were like, we want you to direct this. We want you to kind of do it all. And we thought actually that it was going to be you. They were like, Zach G is going to be
involved,
in this. And we're like, oh, great, no, of course.
Great, well, we know we can find it on the day then, yeah.
Yes, and, you know, we show up, and it's this fucking toad.
No, I actually was busy filming Mob Doctor. I don't know if you guys...
Yeah, I'm well, sure, that's what we...
the whole series.
That's what we found out later. Well, later, going home and watching it on TV, and then being like, oh, well, of course, so that's where he is.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. Bummer.
And they had you, did they accidentally switch roles in that? Because I remember your doctor's coat was like way too big. Like it was supposed to be a fat guy's.
No, I just, it gets hot under the lights if you're on a set, you know?
And oh, so yeah.
This is like a little, you know, a trick that someone taught me early in my career. Like wear clothes that are a little bigger because you won't pit out in them or, you know, you can fit more. Kind of undershirts underneath the soap.
You keep
up
a tiny
sweat.
Fan in there, one of those handheld fans. You can have it underneath your
exactly.
Lab
and sound board. Bitches about it, but sound bitches about everything.
Yes.
They're like, oh, woo, can you not zip your zipper?
Yeah,
because that's right over the mic. Or like, don't touch your hand.
Stop
to your
pounding
heart.
Your chest.
Yeah, and you're
right.
Like, I'm fucking like acting here.
Yeah.
Okay, and don't get shut up, sound. Just fucking hold your mic. And figure it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm figuring out how to act. You figure out how to record the sound of my acting.
Your character is supposed to do like a gorilla yell.
Yeah, my character's doing a Tarzan impression.
You're going to pound your chest.
Yeah exactly. And also, it's called the Mob Doctor, so yeah, I'm going to be rubbing a stethoscope all around my chest in circles trying to find the heartbeat. So yeah, you're going to have a little bit of a sound problem, buddy.
Yeah.
Work it out.
Figure it out.
Fucking crews. I swear to God, they get in the way. It's like we could make such great movies if it wasn't for
the sound and the lighting jerk offs and all the fucking assholes. Yeah.
Who's your least favorite person on the crew?
Man.
Don't make him pick.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was telling you guys before, I think the person who drives me the most batshit crazy is the focus puller.
Oh.
It's like, they get this. I mean, audience, you guys know.
Yeah.
They'll come up to me after a scene and be like, hey, we're in really tight focus here, okay? So if you move just like an inch, you go out of focus. So can you like kind of try and stay? I'm like, fuck you, dude. I'm acting. Like, are you kidding? Really? Someone just died or I'm saving a life and I'm supposed to think about don't move an inch? No, like you turn your fucking knob. Man, I get so upset my language goes out the window.
No,
it's okay.
That's true. Okay. It's so real.
And well,
it's really
and
raw.
I don't know if you've noticed, but when somebody's like friend dies, like they do move an inch.
Yes.
You know?
You move a foot. Even.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Anyway.
And it's like, well, it's like tell my character not to move an inch, you know? And then he's like, why? Like, why can't I?
But
why is anyone telling me what to do?
My character would move an inch.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I don't know. It's supposed to be this collaborative effort making film or TV, and they just make it so about them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sad.
It is sad. It's sad to think about the psyche of someone like that who thinks that it's about them.
And the other thing I've always wondered, I have a video camera. You ever heard of autofocus? Like, Jesus, like, why are you wasting my time turning this knob?
Yeah.
Just turn it on autofocus. Everybody's happy.
Well, they're afraid they're going to be put out of a job.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder if they're even doing anything or if they're just, like, kind of making, like, a beep-beep sound as they, like, pretend to turn a lever or some bullshit.
I don't know.
They're so sucky.
Purge Anarchy is coming out in July. You play Shane.
Yep.
Like a scared guy.
No.
Oh.
Not scared. I mean, you know, it's there's shit going down.
Right.
But I'm not some little girl running around being scared. Oh, you know, I'm not there with my wife in the movie, Liz. Just did air quotes for the audience. And that woman, that character, is played by Keely, my wife, real life, my real life wife.
Yes. And so that's I'm because, like, her. You're so committed to the role, you think of her as your wife, for real.
Well, I do, but also because we actually got married in real life.
Because of the real movie. Life and the movie because are the movie like, was basically so the same thing.
Realistic.
Yeah. Basically, I mean, you could explain it that way.
Okay.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah. At what point in the movie did you get married?
Like a year before.
Okay. Wow. So all prep that during rehearsals kind of.
Yeah, kind of during. So this is a sequel. We did it like a few months before the first movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, chicken or the egg sort of thing. I don't know.
Yes.
If I could real quick, I just can't help but notice the irony that we were talking about focus pullers and Sam got up and moved the microphone very loudly. Engineer Sam.
Sort of pulling focus to
whose job is actually just supposed to be making sure that everyone can hear us.
Right.
And then he's like trying to make it that we can hear him doing something.
Right.
How come, Sam?
Did you have something you wanted to say and why would you have anything?
I was trying to take a picture. The mic was in the way of your face. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oof. Yuck.
This guy. Does he do all your shows?
No, but no one else is good either.
He's Sean's little cousin. I don't know if people know that, but
he's my little cousin, a whiz on the internet, and so that's great, but
he's really great for computer stuff, but
socially not useful.
Not all there.
So why do you give him a mic?
Well,
sometimes he has to go to the bathroom and
we need him to tell us if he needs to use the bathroom because if he can't tell us in a way we can hear, then it's going to be
headphones. Yeah.
If we can't hear it on the A side, on the B side, it's going to be sloppy.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Sorry, but we digress.
Yes, it's fine. He's not interesting. You're interesting. Thanks.
Thanks.
So you are married to a girl that was in the movie with you.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like going home? And like still sort of being in character and like having to negotiate your marriage to her in the movie and then in the real world.
You know, it was really like just a mind boggle, you know, because it's kind of this, life represents art represents life and you get lost in the middle. You know, I could be pissed off at her for something she did at work that day. In character, out of character, who knows at that point? Or I could be really into something she did.
Right.
Just want to get down, and then realize she's just my wife,
right?
And so why then I start pretending she's the character again. I'm kind of glad it's over because it put a lot of strain on the marriage, and now I just
you're glad the marriage is over.
No, actually, we kept the marriage going.
Oh wow!
Okay, is that for the potential of a sequel or?
Yeah. You know, because
smart,
savvy.
I don't want to give anything away. So I won't.
Right.
Scoop troop, get out your pens, but don't write anything because Zach didn't say anything. But he doesn't want to give anything away. But he almost did.
I
so
just
you
gave
should
you a nibble. So,
so
now
you
you're
should have
interested.
Your pen ready. Yes, in case he slips up again.
And maybe just start drawing something while you wait.
Just a little doodle while you're listening. But listen close. Don't let it distract you from listening to the show, our show.
So maybe they shouldn't doodle then. So they
no, just probably don't doodle. Just probably
just put the pen down.
Yeah, just probably put the cap.
I'm not
going
to tell you anything,
it.
So you don't need to take any notes.
Now we've talked in the past, I think, about how much harder movies football is than real football.
Yes.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like not only do you have to – think of it this way. A real football player, they don't have to act like a real football player.
Yes.
You know, they know how to throw the ball. They know how to get it where it's supposed to go, mm-hmm. all that, and they just do it. And it doesn't matter if it looks right or not.
Yeah.
As long as they get the job done. I'm not actually a football player. I'm good enough to be, but I chose to go into acting. But so, like, while I'm doing this and throwing balls or whatever I'm doing, I also have to be acting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Which means I got to look good. I got to look, and depending on the scene, like, am I nervous about the throw? Am I confident in the throw?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot.
Do you want the throw to land somewhere or get hit by someone?
Yeah. I was watching, actually, if you've seen, like, a real football showdown, the guy throws the ball, and if it doesn't get to be a catch, they don't have to do it again. They don't do another take.
Mm-hmm.
They just, like... It's like a different play, you know? So sometimes they'll just have like a bad throw and then just show that on TV when it's supposed to be a good throw. And like for you, if you do a bad throw, you have to just keep doing it until you get it right. Until you throw
in front
a
of
tight
all
spiral.
These people. And doing the acting.
Yes.
And dealing with all the below the line bullshit.
Ugh. Mm-hmm.
You know?
You know, the worst is when you, like, make this perfect throw, you know, and they're trying to follow the ball, and it's this beautiful spiral, and it's out of focus.
Because some dickhead.
Some dickhead doesn't know how to turn his knob.
Some bullshit.
Autofocus.
He knows how to turn one of his knobs, but not the right one at
he's
that
probably
time.
Sitting he's around turning
the
wrong
he's
knob.
Turning, he's yeah, jer- and, we, and jerking he's jerking off. Himself off during the take, yeah.
Because he loves football.
I like that you really explain things to your audience.
Yes, because sometimes the jargon, sometimes it's easy because we know it. So when
and
we say like...
I don't know if we said this up top, but Zach, some of the people that are listening to this show are living in real bullshit states where there's no fucking movies and we don't know how they even get...
You know because of playing... Someone who is not like on the coast.
Yeah.
You know, you've played a lot of characters.
Someone from Texas.
Mob Doctor was in Chicago, right?
Yep.
Fucking like, how do you access?
There's no ocean anywhere near there.
How do you access the kind of character who doesn't who goes to the mall to eat?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, man. It's a dark place.
Yeah.
It's a dark place, and you know, I really just fake it. Like, I'll go to the mall, I'll order something, and I'll pretend, you know that trick?
From you know, like an A&W place? Or
yeah, an
A&W or
Panda Express.
Okay, I've seen those, yeah.
What's your eating trick?
You know, where you like, it only works from the side, but you kind of you act like you're eating and then you move it past your mouth.
Just past your mouth and into your cheek and then you just hide it in your ear.
So I do it on my left side. Well, I just throw it on the floor. So someone on my right... To them, it looks like I'm eating.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then you do a loud chewy noise.
Yeah, exactly.
So ooh, full. And then, that's good.
You know, I stop. Like, luckily, they do have Whole Foods in most of these places, so I can go get, you know, a good lettuce wrap or something.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is your actual eating habits? What's your diet?
My diet is just, you know, clean living. Clean living. No hormones.
Yes.
No nothing.
Do you juice?
Oh, I juice. I'm a juiceaholic.
Mm-hmm.
I got the nice Breville juicer.
That's the good kind of addiction, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's healthy. It's healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, every morning, it's like, and it all comes out like liquid, too. It keeps you light. It keeps you spry. It keeps you young.
Yeah, I love the way it comes out. Yeah.
Orange juice. I love it.
I haven't had that one.
Orange juice?
Mm-hmm.
You've never had orange juice?
I haven't done that one yet. I'm working my way through the fruits and vegetables alphabetically, so I'm not to O
You're
yet.
Not to O.
Yeah. I'm kind of stopped on K.
Zach, let's explain the popcorn gallery, I guess.
Oh, wow. How do we break this down?
So we told you about we have fans. We have people who listen to the show.
Mm-hmm, of course.
These people sometimes... When they're watching you on TV, right?
Mm.
If they have a question for you, they'll ask it, but you can't hear it. Like, you can't respond to them.
Because I'm not actually in the TV.
Right,
I'm not
exactly.
Actually in their home.
But it does look like you are because, like, they can see you.
100%.
They can, you know, you're talking to them. Why can't they talk to you?
And another option they'll have is they might ask, you know, one of their a lot of times this is four generations living in the same house or something. So they'll mm-hmm. ask their great-grandmother who's sitting next to them, mm-hmm. or they'll ask their ugly kid.
Mm, they're all sharing a big bed.
Like, what do you think Zach would think about this? Mm-hmm. Yes, they're all sharing one huge bed. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm watching TV.
Yeah. And they'll say, what do you think Zach thinks? And it's like, that kid doesn't know. And right. the great-grandmother often can't even hear.
So we try, you know, explaining that they can't ask you through their TV. We've given them the opportunity to ask you some questions through the show. They've posted on our forums. So these are real questions from our fans. And sometimes they'll be like, okay, I'll ask him a question. Can I like touch him now and stuff? And it's like, no, it's just like radio. Like we don't like have that technology. We would if we could. But these are just questions for you to answer from some of your fans and ours.
Okay.
And it's called the Popcorn Gallery because they serve popcorn in movies instead of peanuts.
Peanuts.
Mm-hmm. So it's a play on the peanut gallery.
In a way.
Sort
that's
of.
A little too simple, and it's not your fault. That's a little too simple of a way to describe it.
But you're right close. Around it. You're right
you're
around
close.
It.
You're close. Yes. Thanks. You could throw a rock and hit the right answer from where you are. But we're going to ask you not to. So
let's reach into the popcorn
let's
bag.
Let's reach in there. Yum! Popcorn!
That's our sound drop.
Yeah, it's a sound drop. That's my friend Mark.
This is a question from Matt Cameron. Zach, if you could work with any director, how much money would you want to get paid?
It's so hard to put a price on those sort of things.
Yeah.
You know, because you're like, this is, I could work with anyone.
Yes.
But you got to get paid.
You have mm-hmm. to get paid.
You know, I've made some mistakes in my career where I worked for very little money mm-hmm. to work with not very famous directors. And mm-hmm. I regretted it.
Yeah, now you're making me act sad.
Yeah. So, you know, probably... have you explained to your audience about quotes?
This is a great opportunity
what
to discuss
a good
quotes.
Opportunity.
Yes, because what they're used to is going to work and then being paid in like a hollow tree. Like someone will leave the money in a tree and they'll just kind of fish it out. But
and
in
a lot,
our
and
world,
a lot of times too, the way that their bosses will regulate their money is I don't know if you know this, but when you've reached your hand into a hollow tree and you make a fist around mm-hmm. a bunch of coins or whatever,
monkey
it's
trap.
Hard to pull your hand out.
It's the African monkey trap.
And so they make it so they can't get the money. Mm-hmm. Yes,
this
exactly.
It's the old African monkey trap.
And so in that way, they do need an education a little bit on getting a check. And I think they think of quotes probably as just Winston Churchill quotes.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, or like, you know, walk softly and fear your country or whatever.
Sure. Or like Chuck Norris facts, like from the internet. But those actually aren't quotes, but a lot of people think they are.
Mm.
In our world, explain how a quote works sort of in our
well, so
industry
in our world,
sphere.
You know, an actor, a working actor, an established actor, mm-hmm. You develop your quote. And so your first job you make, let's just say $5.
Okay.
So that's your quote next time. And you're always going yeah. for a raise. And
this
so,
guy can be funny.
With each job, you up your quote. And yeah. you're not taking less than your quote.
Sure.
So to work with any director I want, I would take, you know, I'd have to increase my quote by 50%.
Sure.
Mm. You know, and I'm not going to put a monetary value on that because that's kind of gauche to say how much I – make, but yeah.
Yes, only a ghost would do that.
Yeah.
Too scary.
That's too scary. Here's a question from Tim Treese, who I guess...
Are these real names? They sound very fake.
Yeah, like a name like... I don't know if they use like a
is
different
name for
the forums.
Is this what people's names are in the
something.
Middle where you're...
It might just be like their funny internet names. Like I...
They're allowed to put whatever know. Name... And I've tried to get this changed, but they're allowed to put whatever name they want on the internet. People can just do that. So
really?
There's no way to know if it's
there's
real.
No accountability and...
No, they go, you know... Because they go into the library and they get on those internet computers and they... I guess they each get like an hour a day on them.
Yeah.
And they can put any name.
And this is a question from Tim Treese, who we should stop and point out now donated $300 to our show this week, okay. Which we know is like for someone like him is like a really big gesture.
Huge.
To go around your little town with like a bucket and like having people put change in and stuff for something like this.
It's like in church
mm-hmm.
where they pass that thing around. It's just yes. a scam.
But take. Here they have church outside there. And right, so right. like we, yeah.
I'm an atheist, so.
Well, I am
okay.
too.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Come on. Not this. Not
science
now.
Is my
Sean,
God.
Sean, what did we, come on. Not here. Okay.
Sorry. Hayes is afraid I'll alienate some of our fans.
Anywhere else, you can talk about that.
Well, you know that religion is the cause for most of the wars in this world.
Sean, what are you doing?
It is.
Did you mark that? Did you mark that, Sam? Mm-hmm. Did you mark the whole thing?
Yeah, mark it to pump the volume up on it because it's important that a lot of the wars in this world are caused by religion. That's the number one killer, actually. Is not AIDS or whatever somebody said it is.
It's war.
Religion. And war, because
okay,
of the wars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting back up.
Sorry, Zach. I wish you didn't have to see this between us, but.
It's all right.
Tim Treese asks, Zach, what training did you have to do to play a soldier in the Taylor Swift music video?
Well, you know, they actually, Taylor had an actual soldier come in and make sure my uniform was all correct.
Mm.
And, you know, they looked like a soldier and my things were tucked in right. The interesting thing is, and here's another thing, everything was
clarify,
tucked in. Well, you know, just like the pants into the boots and
pants
whatnot.
Pants and shirts, oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your stuff.
Here's the interesting thing. And this is another thing that your audience will learn about the industry. So, you know, generally a soldier has a certain kind of high and tight, they call it in the military. And this guy really wanted me to get that haircut. However, I was in the middle of another job and I couldn't cut my hair. So we had to hide it with a hat. And he was really upset because that's not completely authentic. However, Taylor hired me second. She's in what they call second position.
Okay. Doggy style.
You could call that. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, that's the second most popular one, I think, in my house.
What's the first?
Upside down. 69ing.
First position.
Yeah, that's first position. Now, the other thing that soldiers have to do is fight in wars. Did you have to get brainwashed into believing some bullshit-ass religion in order to wear that soldier's uniform?
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying.
Your fucking mind?
A lot of the troops.
Sean, we are hanging by a thread. You know that.
Wait, you guys are hanging by a thread? And I came in here?
No, you sold me this is huge.
He's having a joke.
Zach.
Hayes is having a joke.
I just want to make sure we're all on the up and up here.
Yes, you know my background and like doing comedy stuff and like.
He's having a joke and it's about. It's funny only because we are so popular and they are so likely to keep making this show.
Okay, I was just checking in on that.
Mm hmm. Yeah.
Let's reach back. Well, we have to reach. Actually, we have to reach retroactively back in the bag for the second question.
Okay, yeah, let's get in there.
So reach back in for the Tim Treese question.
Let me hit the sound drop that my friend Mark recorded for us.
Yeah.
Oh, I had my hand in the soda.
Now we'll do it again for the third one.
Mm-hmm.
Too much butter.
This is a question from Shosho Bro. Shosho Bro says, what's up, Seven? How many fish did you catch during the filming of The River Y? Did they stock a bunch of fish right before scenes, or did they just hook them out of a bucket, plop them in the water, and film you reel them in? Do you like fly fishing now? I'm sorry, that's a lot of questions. But
it's a lot. I think I can cover them.
He's very excited.
I actually love fly fishing. Big outdoorsman. Big outdoorsman. Yeah. I've so backpacked important. Across Alaska. I've ice climbed there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm pretty serious.
He also compliments. He says you were throwing some tight loops in that flick, so props to you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's what I do. Mm-hmm. You know, I throw tight spirals. I throw tight loops if it's fly fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Funny little thing. The, what is it, American Humane Association, whatever.
Whatever,
they're on set the whole time. We weren't allowed to hook a live fish. So if I'm fishing in the movie,
yeah,
I'm not allowed to have a hook on it. Just in case there happens to be a fish in the water and my hook happens to hit it.
Ooh.
Even though that would be the most beautiful, authentic moment to catch on film.
Mm-hmm.
So what we would have to do is I do all it, and then we'd have to get a dead fish.
Mm.
I don't know how – I mean, do we just find dead fish or did we kill them?
Mm.
I don't know. And we'd have to like, you know, hook that one. And so it's all in cutting, editing, editing. So –
all animals
caught
should,
zero fish. During
all
the
animals
filming.
Should be dead.
Well,
no, a they lot. Should. Because like the movies are for people.
They are for people.
If our freezer technology was good enough to keep the meat fresh,
yes,
I would say that we should have all animals be dead starting tomorrow. But I don't. I don't think it's practical.
No, it's the practicality because even if we could keep it all fresh,
mm-hmm.
we'd run out eventually.
Right,
right. And we want to make more animals.
So cold.
But at that point, it'll all be on computers, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. You can just do it right on your phone.
Just 3D print it from your phone, make a whatever, deer meat. Or.
Mm-hmm. We have one more question from Michael Bay of Pigs. Let's find his question in the bag.
Okay. Having
you
trouble finding the button
before
for the
you push a button.
Sound drop. Girl, there's a hole in the back. Oh, good. I'm going to jerk off through it. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm fucking the popcorn. Oh.
Michael Bay of Pigs asks, hey, dear Zach. Seems like a typo. Hey, dear Zach. Why do you throw around the pigskin where there are starving children in the world?
Because they pay me to. You know? I mean, I don't want to be a starving child.
That's
so I find an honest job and make an honest living.
That's correct.
Yeah.
If they want to stop being starving, they should learn how to throw a tight spot.
Or learn how to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Probably start with speaking English.
Mm-hmm.
Get a job.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard. Go to McDonald's. There's one everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, I'll fry the fries.
Go to McDonald's, eat a big meal, and then start hunting for that job.
Yeah.
You know, you need some fuel in you first, I think is what you're getting at. You mm-hmm. can't get a job on an empty stomach.
Mm-hmm. And maybe there's a casting director there or something who's looking at it for a location.
Well, order in a funny way. Yeah. Always order, in a, you know, like
you gotta have
like abbreviations for the, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Abbreves.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That would be a cool thing. If you've got some shtick going at the counter, maybe you're making fun of the way they have to dress at that shitty restaurant.
Yeah.
And then, boom, you're on TV.
Don't use that specific. That's Sean's, and they'll have heard it on a thing. So don't use that because
if it's a casting director, yeah, they're going to know
they'll say that
you're using my stuff.
That you were copying. Zach, thank you so much for coming.
And
helping us be educational.
Do you want to plug any upcoming projects that maybe we don't know about or any stuff outside your movie stuff?
What's your, like, are you doing anything musically still?
Yeah, but I like to keep that on the DL. You know,
yeah.
I like people to just
that's
find
for
me.
You,
I don't tweet
yeah.
about it. I don't whatever. But if people are there, which they always are, they experience it and they love it.
Mm-hmm.
They love it. It's actually interesting because you get to be there and really TV film. You know, I always go to when my movies are in theaters, I go, you know, at least once a week to see it and just, you know, feel the audience and what's going on.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, sometimes I go door to door with a TV show and be like, hey, Mob Doctor's on.
Yeah.
I know you're watching. Can I come in? And they're like, oh, my God.
Oh, to
Mob
yes,
Doctor's
to have
boyfriend.
A meal
that's
with
so
you.
So funny that you say, can I come in? Like,
I mean, I want to be polite.
Yeah.
I actually say, may I?
What a thrill, yeah.
But so anyway, it's already recorded. I know what's happening. Music,
yes.
You know, it's happening right there. It's like doing a live play, only the theater's dead. Mm-hmm. So any of you young actors who want to get into acting, skip the stage. It's mm-hmm. useless. It's not going to pay you anything. You're going to be stuck doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. There's no character development there. You're doing the same character, the same story every night.
Every like anyone,
if you figure it out how to do it once, you can do it 8 times a week. Mm-hmm. Easy. Ugh. Sorry.
But with music, you can just like put on that big mouse head and like just, oh, fuck.
That's all right.
We can cut. I'm sorry.
We'll edit that out.
Yeah. We'll slide.
But yeah, that's true about stage work. Mm-hmm. I always say being on stage is like being inside a zoo. Like they're just there to see the monkeys throw their shit at each other.
And it's depressing.
It's so depressing.
Whereas
they get sick. They don't live as long on stage.
No, they can't. But being on screen mm-hmm. is like, you know,
it's forever.
Way better than the zoo.
Serengeti.
Yeah. It's being in the jungle and you can live forever.
Swinging from vine to vine.
And eating whatever good fresh produce is on the trees.
Rate us on iTunes. Chat with us on the forums.
Like us on
our
Facebook
page. So, oh, yes. Buy the pro version of our show to get the real extra juice. MWN bought the pro version this week. And his prize is Zach Guilford is going to pretend that he's like throwing a pass to you. So MWN.
I'm doing it right now, MWN. Go long.
Nice.
Bye.
Bye.
Hollywood Handbook.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf dead.
That was a HeadGum podcast.